It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
Yeah, screw the levels. Here we are. Peter's Donuts. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat podcast, the only podcast in the world fortified with 7 vitamins and minerals that you've never heard of. Twice your daily intake of Flervium. Mm. Yes. I'm Tony.
And I'm William. This is episode 136. You know, it's kind of... I kind of have high hopes for this episode, and I'm going to tell you why.
Uh-oh.
Because the first time we did a podcast in the third week of October in 2011, it was the Vomit Goblins episode.
Ooh, Vomit Goblins.
The second time we did a third podcast in October, it was the last podcast where we didn't put the questions in the show notes.
Because
it came up in the podcast that we might do that. And then there was such a positive response, the very next week we started the whole show notes, questions in the show notes thing. So it's like, now there's pressure. I mean, this one has to be something, a watershed of some kind, you know?
I'm going to have to ask you to take those expectations and just notch them down a little bit.
Okay.
I am in the final stages of a terrible illness.
you mean you're about
you
to die?
Tell, no. Oh. It was a head cold that is now in my chest. It has fucked me up. Something fierce. I've given it to my wife. She's in the upswing of it. So that's bad. And I'm going to sound funny all night. So deal with that. For those of you just joining us for the first time, as you can hear, we've got quite a pedigree. Anyway, we have a hat. It's magic in that it has its own email address. People write the email address with questions, comments, topics, that kind of thing. And the hat magically, of its own accord, transmogrifies those emails into little note cards with the emails written on them inside of itself. We reach into the hat, draw out these note cards at random, read them, talk about them till we're bored. That's the whole show.
And for as long as we've been doing it, it's still somewhat surprising when we reach into the hat and there's something there.
It is always amazing to me. I always count my fingers after the show. And so far, it's still 3 every time.
Yeah.
So
no,
that's good.
No unusual accidents or anything.
I haven't gotten any extra fingers or, you know.
And no extra, no extra cats or fewer cats, for that matter.
Well, yeah. Gray Boys died since we had this show.
Yeah, but not because of the hat.
As far as you know. The hat is magic in that it killed my 19-year-old cat.
The producer says
too soon.
And I agree. Shame on you.
So, how was your week, William?
Well, let's see. It was good, I guess. I mean, I can never remember, you know. Oh, you know, because one thing that I didn't talk about last time was we went to see John Hodgman at the Englert Theater.
Yes. I'm terribly jealous of that.
Yeah, that wasn't this week. That was the previous week, and I forgot to mention it. I went with my brother, Scott, who I do the other podcast with, Screenshots.
Don't just say the other podcast. You have 2 other podcasts now.
Yes, that's right. which I hope everyone gives a try to listen. And if you do, leave some comments and whatnot. But, yeah, he came and we saw him. Now, the thing about that is, and I wish I could remember more about it, but, you know, I'm terrible about that kind of thing. The only thing I can talk about, you know, because it was near the end of the show, and I can remember it really easily, is he did this bit where he put on a blue kind of old, like a dress you might have seen someone wear in like the 40s.
All right.
And he was impersonating Ayn Rand as if she was writing a advice column or something.
Oh.
And so he would start with something she actually said or wrote, or was believably something she actually said or wrote. But then it would kind of
take
an odd turn.
I would like to see that.
And he kind of used a German accent and everything. It was very, very funny. Ugh. But the thing is, the whole time while I was there, and it was a very good show. It was not at all what I expected. I've said this in a couple other places, but I kind of thought he would show up in a suit, you know, and that the whole thing would be kind of an act.
Yes.
Because that's what he...
The John Hodgman intellectual character.
Yeah, yeah. But
he's
a
very silly guy.
It wasn't really like that at all. I mean, at the beginning, he talked about how amazed he was that the world didn't end. So that part was him sort of still putting on his little act. But from there on, it wasn't so much a stand-up routine as it was it still had that one-man show kind of feel.
Yeah, well, and he technically has never been a stand-up.
Yeah. It still had that one-man show kind of feel, but it didn't seem like he was playing a character. He was just sort of, you know, just telling...
Yeah,
stories
yeah.
about things.
In hearing interviews, I feel like he slips in and out very easily, so it's hard to tell. Like, his character is just him that says weird things.
Well, kind of like you.
Good example.
And it was really good. I mean, it was funny. It was, and when it wasn't particularly funny, it was interesting, you know. Mm-hmm. And... it didn't seem, obviously this was a prepared thing, but it didn't feel like that at all. It felt like he was just getting out on stage and talking. In fact, some things happened in the middle of the show that were unexpected that he responded to as if they were planned, and he even integrated into the rest of the show. I mean, it was really, really good.
I love when they can make that work where you get too often when I see the same routine again, like the illusion goes away. But I love that feel in comedy, especially that like this was just off the cuff and this is what happened.
Yeah, that's exactly how it felt, and I enjoyed it. I really went because Scott wanted to go. I mean, he was going to come here and he was going to actually spend the whole day with me, which he did, and that was just what we were going to do in the evening. But I mean, I'm not a particular fan of John.
Oh,
Hodgman,
if I'd known, I would have leapt on the...
or anything. But I enjoyed it. But for every second, really, every second that I was there, all I could think about, well, aside from enjoying the show, was
Meatloaf.
You know, there's some other universe where Tony's here and I'm not, and there's something more right about that universe.
Most universes.
Most
universes, I'm there.
I mean, like I said, I enjoyed the show, all right, but all I could think about was how you really should have been there, even if that meant I wasn't.
Especially, well, there are several universes where I'm actually married to your brother, so that's a whole other thing, but no.
But it was just, I mean, it wasn't
I would
just,
like to apologize, people. This is not going to get better.
It wasn't just the jokes or the gags or whatever. Yeah. It was just the whole thing. And you know, maybe that's what it was. I didn't really think about it until we were just talking about it, but his approach to comedy or what he was doing is a lot like what you do and how you know do your thing. So I think you really would
have
appreciated.
I like to think so.
Well, so it was.
I also am vastly smarter than those around me and make sure everyone knows it.
So it was the method of what he was doing, but also the topics he was covering. I think
you
would have been interested.
I'm a big comedy geek.
Well, right, but
comparatively,
but the things he was talking about, and I wish I could remember examples, but well, like the gag at the end with the Ayn Rand impersonation.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's right up your alley. The whole show, the whole show was like that. Little things like that, you just would have loved it. And in fact, I just thought every single moment that I was there, I thought, man, Tony would.
So the
think
greatness
this was great.
For which I was destined in this universe, you have thwarted by taking my seat at the Englert showing of John Hodgman.
I guess you know. I was even kind of hoping as the show went on, I was hoping, well, maybe he's here. Maybe he just forgot to talk about it. Maybe he got tickets or something.
And then I showed up on stage. No. No, I had no idea.
Oh, that's too bad. I wish I'd said or told you, because maybe you could have planned.
The producer and I both keep up on that kind of stuff pretty well. I'm kind of surprised we missed it.
Yeah, I'm really... And, you know, of course, I'm useless when it comes to telling you what happened or relating some of the stories, because I don't remember specifics.
You're like that guy from Memento. But that's the thing. You take the guy from Memento, remove the bit about his wife being murdered, and he's a really boring character at that point. And that's William. He's basically the guy from Memento without the tragedy of the murdered wife.
But we didn't...
So he just has all these tattoos that say, like, brush your teeth.
I'm just doing this podcast this week, but next week, screenshots, we're going to cover... the first two installments of the Batman Arkham video game series, because 2 days after the Screenshots podcast is going to be it's the prequel, right? And Grapevine on earlier in the week, Grapevine on Monday or maybe Tuesday, depending on when I can get it posted, is going to be about romance.
Oh, some enchanted evening.
So. I hope
you may hear a podcast.
I hope some of our listeners listen to that. Other than that, you know, just been doing the usual thing, and I can't think of anything to report really. I'm sure I'll think of something later that I wish I talked about. Then I'll just forget about it completely. But have you just been ill? Is that all you have to say about your week?
No.
Okay, well, go ahead and tell us all about it. Between coughing.
As you knew, as I warned you all, I spent my weekend...
Oh, yeah, with children.
...at Grizzly Jack's Grand Bear Resort and Water Park. With its own 24,000-square-foot water park and its own indoor amusement park.
Now, did you, like, actually get into the water?
Oh, yes.
Maybe that's why you got sick.
It's been a lot. No, this is something that's been coming for a while. It's been for like 2 weeks, to the degree that I thought it was allergies. And it's all over my workplace, too. Like, yeah, no, this is something that just took a really long time to come. But luckily, I didn't get sick until we were back. So but I did spend Monday and Tuesday at home.
How did your weekend go then?
Holy crap. I've never been to a place like Grizzly Jack's Grand Bear Resort and Water Park before in my life. I'm guessing... I think the kids really had fun.
Well, yeah. How could they not
I think
not
it was
have?
A wonderful time. We spoiled the crap out of them. I had some difficulty with this because I forgot two important things. Kids are stupid and kids are jerks. Which means... Despite the fact that we were spoiling the crap out of them and giving them just whatever they wanted.
It was never enough, was it?
There was still a significant amount of whining that they were bored and being cranky and beating people up and stuff. So the producer came up with the wise move. We took previous experiences that we know they enjoyed and that they purport to have enjoyed and compared the ratio of time that they were happy there versus here. And based on that, we think they really enjoyed this.
Okay.
They had a lot of very happy time here. They used the word awesome a lot and things like that. So that was good. Well, there's a lot of things I have to discuss here. Let's start with the water park itself. It's quite impressive. It's not built for someone my size by any stretch of the imagination.
No.
The largest inner tubes you could do could not get over even my chest, let alone my stomach. I got stuck in them on multiple occasions. There were three different variety of water slides. I tried them all on Friday night and never went on any of them ever again.
Why?
Well, for different reasons. Well, one general category, they all tried to kill me.
What do you mean?
I will explain. There was the nice one, the family slide, they called it. It was for the little kids. It's really wide. It's like 12 feet across. It's the kind so that you can, like, take a photo with the family. And it just goes down. It's a nice gradual thing. And the little kids played on it. It was great. And at the bottom, under the water, there's a soft, squishy place for them to land on. Again, does not take into account the physics associated with a man of my size, and more importantly, my mass. And so, I guess the speed at which I went, or whatever, slammed down, even in the soft, squishy stuff, just compressed my spine.
Oh, geez.
Painfully.
Oh, man.
So I didn't do that anymore. Then there were the two serious water slides. And I mean, like, that are enclosed tubes that, like, go outside the building and twist around and stuff. There were two of these. There was the small, fast, lie down, look like a mummy, and just pray. And then they spit you out at the other end. And then there was the larger, where you sit on an inner tube and ride it down, and it spits you out on the other end. First, I went on the little one, because it didn't have an inner tube at the time. I didn't realize, after I had walked up the 8 flights of stairs, didn't realize. So I get in this one, and the guy up there says this one's the most fun. So I get into it, pitch black, you head down it, amazing speed. First of all, it hurts constantly, because these tubes are put together in sections.
Yeah, there's seams.
And there are seams,
yeah,
that get you constantly, like these little tiny paper cuts every second, going down your legs and your back the whole way. Death by a thousand cuts. And then you eventually get spit out the other end fast and hard, and I hit my shoulder blade into the unpadded ground of the 3.5-foot pool where I landed. Hard. Bam! I came up looking, as my sister-in-law said, like I had seen God. And I was in shock for about 20 minutes.
Jeez.
And then something compelled me to try it again after about 20 minutes. Because it was a rush.
The same one?
Same one. So I went back. Did it again. Faced the death by a thousand cuts again. In the pitch dark. Spinning around. Freaking out. Came out. Hit. Same exact spot. Wow. On my shoulder.
Wow.
Thunk. After that, I said no more for that one. Then, however, the producer tried the big one, the inner tube slide.
Okay.
And she found it somewhat terrifying, she said. But she tried it, and I thought, well, I should give it a shot. I'll put it on the inner tube. So I went up, I took the inner tube up there, and I tried that one. That one was awesome. You're sitting on a nice, cushy inner tube. You can kind of see better, because it's bigger, so there's more light coming through or whatever. Zooming down that thing, a nice, comfortable seat. It was awesome. Except for the fact that, as I specified, none of these things are built for my size and my mass. Me sitting on one of their inner tubes is a little what we call top-heavy. And so about 10 feet from the bottom, I flipped over and bammed my head really hard into the side of the wall.
Flipped over?
Yeah, know. The whole thing flipped over while I'm still in the slide.
Oh, so the inner tube was on top of
on you, top of me.
Were you like face down?
Yes. And that's how I came out of the tube.
That doesn't sound good at
all. It was not good at all. I came out, and the lifeguards barely paying attention. This, I'm gonna say, like 10-year-old girl who happened to be nearby, keeps saying to me, "Are you okay? Are you okay?" And I finally had to assure her I was fine. Then I called the lifeguard over and said, "Humor me. Are my pupils the same size?" And he looked and says, "Yeah, it's fine. If you need ice, you can go over there." I was like, "I think I'll be okay." It hurt for days.
But why did you flip over? I guess I don't understand. Why did that happen?
I think because the center of gravity is off. When I'm on top of the, like, I don't sink into the hole in the middle of the inner tube. Yeah. I'm just on top of it.
Right, right.
So the center of gravity's too high, and I was sort of swinging back and forth as you go through turns.
Oh, wow.
And one was just enough to flip me over. Wow. It makes a lot more sense with the visual aids that you people don't have at home. But I'm doing things with my hand. It's kind of like fishtailing, you know,
yeah,
that kind of
right,
thing. And
right.
I flipped over. Huh. And after that night when we went to bed, I was like, okay, new rule. Uncle Tony doesn't go on any of the slides anymore. So we didn't, but we spent a lot of time in the water park, a lot of time. And I realized too late how we were supposed to handle it. Because this whole experience gave me a new, increased respect for people who raise children. Simultaneously, it gave me an incredibly huge increase in my incredulity over why anybody chooses to do it. Because I kept trying to imagine, what if this was really my vacation? What if, like, I have my job that I work at, and this was really my time to, like, get away? And then after I do this, I'm supposedly refreshed and I go back to work. That's insane. But I figured out that we're doing it wrong. Because one of the couple of places that had food there, there weren't that many and it was not well stocked, was the cafe in the water park. And it had, they said it had sandwiches and stuff like that. It did. It had peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, and it had a variety of hot dogs. That was basically it. But it also had an incredibly well-stocked bar.
Really?
Yes.
That doesn't seem right.
Beer, wine, malt liquor, all the hard liquors. You could get any sort of mixed drink you wanted. And I realized too late, they're expecting me to get hammered and just sit in the lounge chairs and watch my children play. But I figured it out too late, so that was not the plan. But I have yet to even get to the Enchanted Forest.
Okay.
The indoor amusement park.
Enchanted Forest.
That's what they call it. Which was also the name of an amusement park where I grew up in Salem, Oregon, that I actually really enjoyed. This was not like that. This was really weird and kind of sketchy. Like, it was like
Senior Card Gage?
Yes, sketchy? It was. Yeah, it was like it was like an amusement park out of the back of somebody's van. Because the thing is, it's indoor, but it's just in a metal warehouse, and it's dark. Like, there were lights of the rides and stuff. There were no light lights. So, like, I really felt like if I knew the right, like, hand signal or whatever, I could go into the corner of one of these places here and buy heroin or something. Like, it was amazing. And half the rides weren't working at any given time. It was really weird, but the kids loved it. There was a Tilt-A-Whirl they really loved. There was a thing called Demolition Derby that was very cool. You see these two wheels with just cars hooked to them. The cars don't drive, the cars just spin. But what happens is, as these wheels hit each other, the cars would actually detach from the circle they were on and attach on the other one, so you end up going in a figure eight. Mm. But it wasn't like a figure eight belt, you actually separated. I was kind of surprised at the engineering that had to be involved in making that. But and there was a ropes course, which I went on with my niece.
You did?
Yes, I did.
Wow.
Wow, indeed.
What?
Why the ropes course.
Why did you do that?
Well,
I mean, it doesn't sound like your kind of thing, really.
I have a fear of heights, but usually it's enough to just make it interesting. And here's the thing. You can't fall. Like, it's not, they didn't have a net. Like, they were so confident underneath the ropes course were more like video games and shit. Like, just people hanging out. Because your little harness is hooked to a very strong rope that's hooked to a metal thing, and the metal thing hooks into this groove that's in this tube, basically, that's all around the ropes course. So you can't fall. Like, you could not. And I knew this. And my niece kind of wanted to do it. And I was like, I'll do it with you. And so we went for it. And I was totally cool. And I'm like, you want to be in front or the back? She says, I'll be in the back. I say, okay, I'll go in front. And you climb up there, these steps you start with to get up there, and I'm going, and I'm like, if I go too fast, you yell, and if you need to grab onto me, that's totally fine, okay? We go up there, so we get up there, and we cross the first bridge. And the bridge is just some little wooden steps, and then are held on the side, so there's rope on either side, little cord. Now, as I said, I can't fall. Like, it's a physical impossibility. I'm confident of this.
Okay.
That does not mean that the bridge on which I'm standing can hold my weight.
Okay.
Necessarily.
All right.
And this makes me nervous, I'm not going to lie.
So you were worried that it wouldn't?
I was a little freaked out.
Okay.
You know, I was worried that it... Yeah, because I step on it, and it has a lot of give.
But do you think they would have even let you do this if they thought that
would... Well, they almost didn't let me because they didn't think they could get the harness on me, and I had to prove them wrong on that, so... Mm. And also, everybody operating everything here is like 16 at best.
Okay.
And as I said, back of some guy's van. So I don't know what's going on. But I'm doing it, but it's not too scary. But we get across there, and I'm just... All right, then we're going to go to the next one. We turn to this one, and it's also small wooden steps. But instead of two ropes on the side to hold onto that are hooked to it, it has single ropes, like sort of blue Twizzlers, of varying lengths spaced out every few feet, just dangling from the ceiling. That's all you have to hold on to.
Mm.
So I start going across. And very quickly, I forget my niece is there. I'm just worried about surviving. Because they're not even the same. Some of them I had to reach for to get to. And there's nothing. I'm just standing there. There is nothing keeping me upright except my own sense of self-preservation.
Well, now, you're pretty tall. So, what was she supposed to do?
We'll get to that.
Oh, okay.
But I finally make it across. Never mind that I look down and I see that I am drenched in fear sweat at this point. Just in the space of like 20 feet, I am now soaking wet. And I turn back. Sure enough, she has attempted to follow me about three steps out, and now she can't reach one of them. And I'm like, oh shit, but I have to be good. You know, can't get on that I'm scared. 8-year-old. So I'm like, oh, she's like, I can't reach it. She looks like she's going to cry. I'm like, you can go back if you want, and I'll meet you around the thing. And so she goes back. Turns out she was not that scared. So we met at the end. So then I had to walk across to where there's nothing to hold on to. It's just two beams. Luckily, the beams did not move very much, so it was not as scary as you might think. But we get back to the other thing, and I'm like, let's go down. She says, okay. I went back down. Told her later, I'm like, if you want to go back, you totally can. You're tall enough, they'll let you go on your own. I am not going back with you. Was straight up terrifying. But they love the Tilt-A-Whirl and everything like that. At the very end, we gave them some tokens for the various gambling machines that were around there. So they got some tickets, and they got to spend them on worthless crap. We played some mini-golf. They had an outdoor mini-golf thing. But it's not, like, kept up. Like, there were leaves in it. So some shots we messed up because it hit a leaf. Like, but then again, we were playing. Like, at one point, I just walked over to the green, and I was holding my ball, and I just let it drop into the hole when nobody was looking. And I was like, ooh, I did so well. So we kind of fucked around with that. Yeah, it was weird. If you have little kids, it's probably a fun place to go. If all of your vacation options involve bringing little kids, it's probably good. You keep them busy. They showed movies at night. They have story time downstairs. It was okay. But, yeah, for me, it was just kind of terrifying. So.
Well, you know, just
and it was very expensive, because it was very expensive to go, and then there were lots of things that cost extra.
Right. Just to make sure this is said, you know, you're talking about if this was your vacation, and you can't believe anybody would want to do this. When people decide to have kids, they pretty much know ahead of time that this is the way their life is going to be.
I know, and what I'm saying is the propagation of the species is not worth it, people.
Well, I'm just saying that the people who...
Let's have this generation really happy and hang out, and then we'll die off, and it's fine.
It's all about perspective. I mean, surely you know.
Yes, I gained a great deal.
No.
The trip.
What I'm saying is, you know, I went on a lot of... similar types of outings with my godchildren, and, you know, experienced some of the same things you did, but I enjoyed every minute of it. I mean, it wasn't...
Yes, but you're you.
But I think most people who decide to be parents, or even who are parents by accident, but they're glad that accident happened, there's a lot of positives about that experience that completely negate and
I believe that the they believe pale. That. I'm here to tell you, you're wrong. Having children is wrong.
Well, perhaps
we should all stop.
Perhaps you're one of those people that wouldn't really understand it until you had them, you children yourself.
Or perhaps you're all wrong. Having children is wrong. We should stop. Am I going to have to take her to Grizzly Jack's?
You would love it.
Yes, she would. It was just so tiny. I expected a bigger place for a water park. It was weird.
Well, actually, it sounds exactly what I expected. Your entire description of it is like, yep, that's about right.
It's just crazy. I've never been to a water park, so I don't have a comparison. The amusement park was sad and sketchy. But gave me nightmares. As was the restaurant that was hooked to it, that was just some tables in the same giant warehouse room where the noise was. Like, there was no getting away from it. And Columbus Day holiday.
Mm-hmm.
So big weekend for them. Apparently they had 1,000 some people at the resort. They forgot the restaurant, the only restaurant in the place, forgot to put in their order for a bunch of stuff. So when we went there on Saturday for lunch, they had no hamburgers of any kind. They had no ribs. They had no coleslaw.
Already,
I'm not sure what else they
already
had.
Already on Saturday?
They forgot to order it. Wow. By Sunday, they apparently got some because we went back because there was no other place to go, and I had some ribs. They weren't bad. Also, I would just like to say, since we are still in the fall television season, I have officially given up 2 shows so far.
Which
the producer has given up one of them.
Which of those shows have you given up?
We gave up the... Unfortunately, they're both just half hours, which is too bad because there's too many of the other ones. We gave up The Crazy Ones, which was the half-hour show with Sarah Michelle Gellar and Robin Williams.
Yeah, not surprised on
CBS.
That.
The first episode was funny. The second episode was exactly like the first episode. And it's Robin Williams. It's going to be like that forever. So we're just like, yeah, one trick pony, never mind. I have given up on Rebel Wilson's new show, Super Fun Night, after 2 episodes, because both episodes were horrible. It's a terrible, terrible show. It's not funny. It's dumb. It's bad. The producer has not yet given up, though she as well acknowledges it's a very bad show. But she loves Rebel Wilson, so she's clinging to hope that something will happen. But it's a terrible show. No one should watch it or have children.
Or have children while watching it.
Unfortunately, still liking S.H.I.E.L.D., still liking Sleepy Hollow, still liking Blacklist, which I did not expect. Was about to give up on Michael J. Fox show, and then it turned around and was quite clever. So I haven't given up on that one yet. I'm getting a little tired of Modern Family, so we'll have to see what happens there. But
well, the last S.H.I.E.L.D. episode was actually pretty good. I mean, the first ones weren't bad, but they weren't great.
Yeah.
And, like I said, the superficial characters and kind of boring.
The last one was much... They finally came up with something clever.
Yeah, and one of the characters, I thought... she didn't seem so bland.
Yeah, they're starting to write...
So I thought that was
a little,
pretty good.
They're starting to write for characters rather than for premise.
And... But Sleepy Hollow still is...
Sleepy Hollow is just a mess, and I love it. I don't even understand. And I'm not watching it because it's so bad. I mean, it is on a certain scale. It's terrible, but I'm not watching it out. I'm not watching it ironically. It's really enjoyable, and I don't know why.
I don't know either because it's not enjoyable to me.
Oh no!
I mean, we keep watching it.
I'm adoring
just
it
to see what happens, but I don't think it's
I don't get it. But I know I'm way into it. I can't figure it out.
But what is there to be into?
I don't know.
There's the plots or
there's
the stories
crazy
or...
wacko bullshit that they're doing. It's all in Washington's Bible.
Well,
and then he talks to OnStar. talks to the All-Star
now, that
lady.
Was actually kind of funny.
They do bunches of those.
That was a very clever... It was product placement, which was annoying, but it was very well done.
It was a fake one. It was North Star, which I don't think is a real one.
I thought it was on Star.
No, because I was waiting for that, but no, it was North
Star.
Well,
it was very cleverly done.
No, but they do that because Trish, the producer's convinced that somebody, has she talked about this on the show? Some major history nut is consulting. Because every time I think they're going to really fuck up something historical, they don't. Like the first time she gives him a gun, and I'm like, you know what? He's going to just keep shooting it when things get bad. Neglecting the fact that in his day, every gun had one bullet. And then they do a bit where she's literally, where's the gun? And he's like, I threw it away. And she says, why? And he goes, it was empty.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
There've been a whole bunch of those.
That's true.
Somebody's really
too.
Checking like the historic
that,
stuff.
That was pretty clever.
Sort of pointlessly because so much of the rest of the show makes no fucking sense.
Yeah, I don't know.
But they're like yeah, clearly nobody on the show has ever been inside a police department. No. But somebody really knows their colonial history.
The shows just seem like they all seem like they're getting like they have this big idea for what the show is going to be, and it's like, oh, but we have to do all these shows up front to get to the cool part.
Yep.
And so all of these episodes seem like throwaway episodes, like, okay, we have to do this, we have to do that.
It was just like you said, they front-loaded a season's worth of plot in the first episode, and now we're just doing Demons of the Week.
And so you're thinking, why didn't they just do a reasonable... You know,
because it's not well thought out at all.
Well, I wonder, though, too, about... Because I was thinking about this in regard to... I talked about how Joss Whedon shows and S.H.I.E.L.D. is kind of like this, even though he's not writing it, where you start out with these really poorly conceived and ill-drawn characters, and if you get enough seasons just by the accident of time, they're going to develop and do
things. Well, because he grows them. He's not good at... starting with interesting characters. He's good at growing characters.
I wonder if that's...
Like sea monkeys.
I wonder if I'm looking at it the wrong way. That you start off with these stereotypical characters and whatnot because you got to sell the show and get the seasons.
Yeah.
Because, let's face it, you know, I have pretty high standards for this kind of thing and most people don't. So you want to get people to watch. You feed them the stereotypes they're used to. You feed them the crap that they like, and then once you get the extra seasons, then you can start doing the real work.
Yeah, and it's getting the second season.
That's right.
Sleepy Hollow is getting a second season.
Well, and
it's not an ensemble piece. This show has four characters, and one of them has only recently been introduced. This has our two main characters, their boss, and now we have...
someone else.
Yeah, it's kind of a plot point to give away.
Well, right, but, I mean... there's a few people that you could be talking about who has just been introduced, so I'm not sure who you're talking about. It doesn't matter.
Maybe we're behind on an episode.
It doesn't matter, though, because the thing is, I wonder if the reason it's so uneven and crappy is because all they're trying to do right now is get that extra season, make the money, and as soon as they know they have another season or they think they're going to have a good run... then they'll start actually putting some work into
it. Which you get with a lot of genre
stuff. Yeah, you do. You really do.
Stargate SG-1 was like that. And if you look at the older, like even pre, like Buffy and stuff like that, older stuff like that, you would get that. A lot of shows, yeah, they're just trying to sell it, and then once they feel comfortable, then they can start experimenting. And it takes a while for both the writers and the characters to find their mark.
They're experimenting now. They're like, well, for example, you had the first... like I said, the first episode seemed like a previously on or last season on. But then in the very next episode, in the first episode, it seemed like they established, because like a couple other police officers saw the Headless Horseman or whatever. So now it's like, okay, all the doubt and everybody that the doubt everybody had about whether or not this thing was real, they know it's real. But in the very next episode, those guys recanted, and she's not even sure now. It's like, what? Why are we having this whole episode if she's having her doubts? But it seems like they're...
But we still let him work with her.
Right, right. But it seems like they're experimenting with us. Like, well, we don't know how this is going to test, so we'll do this, and then we'll do this, and we'll...
They're putting in a bunch of... And that's... Yeah. I blame a combination of Babylon 5 and Lost for that. Every show now has to start off with some big, mysterious, overarching plot.
A lot of the people who created and are writing this show were working
Well, there we go then.
Because
that's the thing nowadays. You can't just have a show with, oh, here's a premise, and we'll just start it. There always has to be some deep conspiracy behind it to start off with.
Yeah, but...
We did that with Blacklist, too. Now that we're about three episodes in the Blacklist, it's just going to be a Criminal of the Week thing. Like, yeah, we have the hints of the other stuff, but I'm like, that's not going to last.
Well, I don't know what's going to happen. I suppose we'll keep watching it, but I'm not too optimistic about it right now.
All right, we got like 20 minutes left. We probably should do some hat work. Or I could just cough for 20 more minutes.
I'm sure everybody will enjoy that.
Everybody loves that. What do you got? What do you got?
Hard hat number one.
Hard hat number one.
Brings us a question that's slightly digested, I guess.
Oh, tasty.
Do you guys know the Off-Topic Radio podcast? They're like you, but less funny. Thoughts? Well, if they're less funny,
so
their days are probably numbered because we're pretty not funny.
So it's just silence on
podcast. Yeah, that's what I'd guess. I don't know.
Like, do other people hear this podcast, Mark, or is this an imaginary podcast?
The Off-Topic Radio podcast. I don't know.
Never heard of it. Ezzy? She has not heard of it either.
I'm with you. I have to doubt that it even exists if it's less funny.
Yeah. How would you be less funny than the weather service? Well, the weather service is less funny than us. The Weather Channel is not less funny than us because they name their winter storms ridiculous things.
I think the phone book is more funny than us. But...
Well, the yellow pages, maybe not the white pages.
Okay, fair enough. Do you have any thoughts on this? Because
I never heard of it. I think you made it up. Does not exist. If anybody wants to disprove us, that's not Mark, because we don't believe stuff from Mark. Go to the blog and tell us how real it is. TheMagicalTalkingHat.com. You can also comment on other things, or just watch jazz. It's becoming a bit of a following now, people who just watch what jazz has to say. Because jazz puts a lot of thought into everything.
She does. The results are quite impressive. That's kind of her thing, which is what makes our podcast Grapevine so awesome. Give it a listen.
Now,
I think I'm going to plug podcasts the whole time tonight.
I feel so betrayed. Wait, you've decided now you're going to do something all night. Two-thirds of the way through the episode.
Well, just because I've already been doing it.
All right. Okay, so thanks for your question, Mark. No.
Sorry, Mark. We didn't really have much to say about that.
Except that we think it's a hallucination.
Mostly because of the less funny part. That's just...
No, I just think you made stuff up. All right, here we go. This is from our, as far as we know, single Scottish listener. Also our only listener from Slough. I just love to rub that in. If the Magical Talking Hat was turned into a movie, who would you cast in it? That's from Craig, for those of you who didn't put it together before.
We'd play ourselves.
Okay, let's assume that's not an option.
But the hat would be...
Assume it's not marketable.
The hat would be...
David Hyde Pierce, I assume.
Okay, yeah. Yeah.
Which seems like a waste, because no lines. But... Yeah.
But...
Yeah. No, but let's assume we can't play ourselves.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because not marketable, you know?
Well, that's true.
We need stars.
I know. The
question's not that interesting. Yeah, also the question's not that interesting if we just say, well, we'd play ourselves at the end, you know? So we got to make
it... Well, none of our questions are that interesting.
I know,
well,
but
the producer
saying,
should play herself, though, right?
No. Okay.
Who's going to
work
play,
with me on this? I'm not saying that they look alike or they even act alike, but this is somebody who I feel could adequately play the character of my wife. The way that her personality and the way that she is.
You better be careful. You better take a lot of care in what you're about to say.
I just feel like...
Okay, here we go.
Kevin Federline could really... No. Julianne Moore. I don't exactly know why. I mean, I don't consider her to do roles that are like my wife, or to be particularly like my wife, or to look even particularly like my wife. I just feel like she would do well playing the producer.
Okay, what about Izzy?
Ezzy.
Sorry. Sorry, you're right, Ezzy.
Well, Sonny Bono's dead, so...
Yeah. I think I
can we get Lorenzo Music?
I think I've been reading something with a character named Izzy in it, and that's why I was thinking that. But I don't even remember what that was. Ezzy, sorry. Esmeralda.
Esmeralda. That is a tough one.
I was thinking of...
What if Rebel Wilson played Ezzy?
Rebel Wilson played Ezzy? Oh, now that's a good...
I feel like she's not bitchy enough. Yes.
That's a good pick, though, really.
I want to do somebody more annoying. I feel like, you know, does Kesha act? Like, maybe she could do it.
Julia Roberts, I was thinking, maybe.
As Ezzy. Julie. Oh!
Sarah Silverman.
You know, before Wreck-It Ralph, I would have said no. But now, no, I think she could... Sarah Silverman could do a very good job as Ezzy. Wait, but back up here.
Who's going to play
you
Mark?
Didn't comment on my casting choice.
For who?
For the producer.
Well, I don't know.
Well, what do you think? No, let's say you got a cast. You also got to come
and up. And I can't here. Just cast the producer?
No. This is like a movie star. We need a name, you know?
I really don't know. You know, I'm not even very good at remembering names. I might be able to remember, like, and tell
oh,
you
come on.
The movie or whatever.
You can get there. Don't get out of this one. On. You're just scared.
I know who I think would be really good.
Don't say Joan Cusack.
No, I wasn't going to say. Although she actually would be good. I was going to say Amy Poehler.
Amy Poehler.
She'd be good.
Ooh, what do you think, baby?
I'd go work at that. Can I get Neil Patrick Harris to be me? That would just be hilarious.
That would be awesome. Neil Patrick Harris as my wife.
Okay.
You prefer Tina Fey, don't you?
Whatever.
Okay. I like that. That could be good. All right.
I think that was just like a general thing, not who I think should be.
Well, okay,
Who's going to play Mark?
I lost his name. I keep wanting to say Bob Zmuda because that's who he played in Men on the Moon. Paul Giamatti. Paul Giamatti will play Mark.
Are you sure?
Either that or a guy that I work with who looks exactly like Mark, has the beard and everything, freaks me out. I keep making assumptions about my relationship with that guy at work, and I keep remembering.
Why Paul Giamatti? Why do you think?
I don't know. I just see it. Try it sometime. Look at his comments on the blog and hear Paul Giamatti reading them. It works really well. I'm not saying... I mean, it's a theatrical thing. He doesn't look like him. It's not, but I think he would make a good role of the character
Mark. It's not about looks at all. It's about, like you said, capturing the character.
Yes. Which is why Blood Sparrow, played by B.B. Newworth.
I don't even know who that is.
Best known for playing Lilith Sternett Crane on Cheers.
Oh. I think she might be too old for the role, though.
It's possible. That is true.
She's got the voice for it.
Yeah.
She's got to get that voice.
Yeah, most of the ones I can think of are too old to play Blood Sparrow properly. Unless Ellen Page could work. Ellen Page has some of those vocal qualities, and she's of an age.
Mark, I just think Mark's got a very, I guess Paul Giamatti doesn't work for me. Mm-hmm. Gosh, that's tough. Mark has a very specific personality. I mean, there's nobody else
Dave
like
Dave Chappelle.
Okay, help me out. Who's that?
Well, it's not funny if I have to tell you.
Oh.
He's a very famous, somewhat controversial black comedian.
Oh. No. Oh, what's that guy's name who you like, who, I think he read some, he did some books on tape, but he's been in things like, no, you know the guy I'm talking about. I think he's read some of the, what was that one? Oh, he's read some of the help me out here. The Dresden File books.
James Marsters.
Yeah. He could play Mark.
James Marsters as Mark.
Yeah.
Wow.
He's probably also too old, but he could do it. I mean, he could like follow Mark around for a while, and then he would know exactly what to do.
That Mark, you have been intensely complimented. There.
Well, here's the thing, because Mark is a very unique character. I mean, you know, when you get to know Mark, you're not going to meet anyone else like Mark. So you have to have a character actor play him.
Paul Giamatti is one of the quintessential character actors. Yeah, okay,
that's true. You're right. But not...
I mean, it's basically him or Benicio del Toro. See, now we want to do that. Mark McKibben as Benicio del Toro as Mark McKibben. Okay, well, shit. Now we can't leave people out. Okay, Beth, Anne Hathaway, just a given.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'll have to go along with that.
Craig is Craig Ferguson, because I only know a couple of Scottish people.
Or Ricky Gervais, who could do a Scottish
person.
Fuck
Ricky Gervais. Just in life. Fuck Ricky Gervais. Okay. Although he is also from Slough, at least in his TV show.
That's kind of why I mentioned him.
Nice then. Good job. who are the Sergito? Sergito has a very distinctive voice because he does the intro and outro for the show. So that becomes very hard.
Well, now see, there like I could
Vincent
see...
Vincent Price is dead.
There
so.
I could see Paul Giamatti playing him.
Paul Giamatti is... Okay, I'll give you that. I'll give you that.
That works for me.
Who is Kia B? I haven't heard from her lately. Hope she's still listening. I should probably speak to that one. What's a younger version of Lily Tomlin? Lily Tomlin's vastly too old. But Tina Fey might actually work there. Tina Fey.
Okay.
Tina Fey could be good there.
I don't know Kia B very well.
Yeah, Tina Fey could do Kia. Who are some other? We're going to miss somebody and they're going to be really sad. Jazz, you got to speak to Jazz.
Jazz.
Linda Hunt's still alive. I mean,
I'm thinking.
Is Jazz 3 feet tall?
No. She's not very tall, though. She is, I would say, diminutive. Boy, that's tough.
Mm.
That's tough.
Tim Allen?
No, if you cast a guy in her role, he's got to be like a 17-year-old boy. That's kind of her style,
believe
it or not. I know you don't know her very well, but believe me, if you got to know her, you'd think, that's right. That's
I'll
about
trust
right.
you on that one.
That's about right. Yeah, I'm not sure. That's a tough one. That's a tough one. I really don't know.
Who else are we missing? Stu hasn't been around in a while.
Azure Talon.
Oh, Azure Talon. Oh, let me think on that one. Alan Thicke, but he's a little old.
For Jazz, I'm thinking like Margaret Cho or someone like that.
There we go. All right. So she's like Kim Jong-il is what you're saying?
No.
Margaret Cho does a great Kim Jong-il.
She does, but...
Azure Talon. I feel it's rude to say Kevin James.
Why? What's wrong with Kevin James?
I don't know. I think Kevin James is a douche, but I feel like he could act the part of Azure Talon pretty well. No, I don't want Kevin James, though.
Listen to us talk about this like it's really going to happen.
Oh my god, Louis C.K. needs to be Azure Talon.
Oh.
Dude, perfect.
Yeah.
Spot
good,
on.
Good one.
If he's busy, we could... No. Louis C.K., Patton Oswalt plays Veramond.
Okay.
There we go.
It seems like one of our listeners could be played by John Hodgman, but I don't know who that would be.
Well, we haven't gotten to us.
Oh, well, John could play you, maybe.
You think that could work?
I mean, yeah, I mean, he could do
like
it, but...
He's better spoken than I am.
Well,
the classic that was always given to me growing up was Robin Williams. But I think he's kind of aged out of it. And I think also I have matured, whereas he has not. over the years.
So, I mean, if I were casting you...
Yours is pretty easy.
Why? Who's...
John Corbett.
John Corbett?
Yeah.
What's he from?
He is probably best known as the DJ Chris from Northern Exposure.
Oh.
He was also the male lead in My Big Fat Greek Wedding.
I know you're talking
about. He's also the voice of Applebee's and Walgreens currently.
But why him?
I don't know. He has...
Because he's boring?
No, he has... There's a certain quality of energy...
or lack thereof.
Well, no, because that's the thing. Is I keep wanting to say part of it is you're very laid back, and yet you can come out of that, but it's not. It's very fluid. It's not very abrupt. I don't know. It's just there's a certain style, and despite the fact that he hasn't done shit in ages, I've always considered him a pretty good actor.
I know who I would want to play me.
Who
I
would
mean,
you
he
want
would,
to play?
He's too old now, but I would love it if. William H. Macy played me.
Oh.
That would be great.
He could do a good job of that. He could do a very good job of that.
He would be a so much better version of me than I am. It would be fun to watch.
Actually,
that wouldn't be too hard, I guess.
Rip Torn is notoriously difficult to work with, so I'm going to go with John Malkovich for me. Yeah.
John Malkovich. Not bad. Also too old, but not bad.
We got to get back to Stu real quick. I don't know, Welshman. So basically, Anthony Hopkins is too old. Michael Sheen is too good at what he does. So I guess that means Rob Brydon, because that's the only other Welshman I know.
Why couldn't Paul Giamatti play you?
Now that I could see. But we got him playing Sergio at this point.
That's right.
How about Steve Buscemi?
Steve Buscemi play you?
Yes.
Exactly. You?
Yes, totally.
No.
Christopher Walken.
Also too old, but no. No, that wouldn't work.
Sam Rockwell. Sam Rockwell could play a good me. They're actors. That's how it works.
Well,
Sam Rockwell's been told he could play 36.
I wonder what the listeners think about this question.
You should cast, and it's gonna happen. There's going to be listeners out there that are active in the community online and all that we have forgotten. We're very sorry, and if you mention something on the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com, we will alleviate it next episode. I promise, next episode we will talk casting for the people that we missed. If you go on the blog and mention it, or if you mention somebody else on the blog that we missed.
But how would you cast the Magical Talking Cat?
Yes.
Us, I mean, how would you cast us? Because obviously we're kind of...
I feel like David Hyde Pierce is just nailing
it. Oh, wait, for you, wouldn't... Oh, God, what's that guy's name?
Heath Ledger's dead, so...
No,
So's Roger.
The only thing I can think of that he was in was Bicentennial Man. But
not Robin Williams. I didn't see that movie. Neither did anybody
else.
But
you know this guy. What is his name?
John Lithgow?
Oliver...
Platt?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's not the first time that's come up.
Yeah, he'd be good.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
What the fuck is he doing these days?
I don't know, but I liked him. I mean, I liked everything he was in.
I love him.
Yeah, I liked everything he was
in. I haven't seen him since he had a weird part in Flash Forward, I think. No, maybe not. I haven't seen him in a long time, is what I'm saying. I hope he's not dead. That would be good, though.
Yeah.
I always wanted to be him, his portrayal of Porthos in the Three Musketeers movie was the first time I ever had any, like, sympathy with the Three Musketeers and ever wanted to be one of the Three Musketeers.
He's a good actor.
He is.
I mean, everything I've seen him, he's good.
Funny Bones?
Oh, I think I did, actually.
It is a weird, weird movie that has him as the main guy. It has Lee Evans back for anybody
who he's the main guy,
was.
I thought.
Yeah. And Jerry Lewis is in it in a non-comedic role. It's a dark comedy. It's a fascinating movie.
Are you sure that's the title of that movie? Because I've seen the movie you're talking about.
Yes, Funny Bones. Not to be confused with Monkey Bone.
I know, but...
Yes.
Okay.
Some people are funny down to their bones. It's part of one of the
that was a pretty good film. Like you said, it's odd.
I really like that film.
It's
dark
yeah.
in places. I really like that film. So I recommend it. And that's all we have for tonight, folks. So,
thanks, Craig and Mark.
Craig and Mark, otherwise known as Craig Ferguson and James Marsters. I assume he's not going to do the British accent.
No. He'll do a...
Well, he does the British accent for just about everything he does.
He'll do a Mark McKibben accent, because that's another thing. Mark, I mean, when you hear Mark speak, you never guess where he's from, because he just has a very distinctive way of talking.
There you go.
And that's why another thing... I think,
and he wears his hair that way, spiked and blonde.
No.
All right, so you should write the hat. You, specifically. Yes. You should write the hat. TheMagicalTalkingCat@gmail.com. Once again, TheMagicalTalkingCat@gmail.com. Write it with a question, topic, fun stuff we can talk about until we're bored, as is the premise of the show.
Mm-hmm.
In the meantime, have a good week, or else we'll find you, and, well, we won't find you,
okay.
But have a good week anyway.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.